The numbers are 205, number 255, number 261, number 395, number 412, number 487, number 551.
And those are today's numbers for Monday, November, whatever day this is, 17th or 18th, 18th, is that right? Can that be right? It's 1930 UTC, almost 1931, almost. And my name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and that's what's happening right now. The Dubious Goals Committee. Glad you could make it. I'm drinking tea. And it's good. I'm very happy about this. I do love tea. And I had a pretty brutal night. Slept all weird. I was super hot for a while, and then I was super cold. And it makes no sense. Although it kind of makes sense because, you know, when I looked out the window this morning after waking up, there was snow all over the ground. And I thought, oh, no wonder I'm cold, because it's negative 4 degrees Celsius. It's about 25 degrees Fahrenheit right now. Not bad, but I'm still not quite accustomed to it, and it did mess up my back a little bit. So the first thing I had to do after eating was get in the bathtub. So I was in the bathtub reading some books. Actually, I was just reading one book. I was reading some Bruce Sterling short stories. Always good. And I feel bad because I was actually in the bathtub when I should have been watching Sky Sports News, because I did get up early enough. I awoke late enough, or early enough, I mean, to watch Sky Sports News. I even woke up before it was on, 10 minutes before it came on. And I watched that a little bit, but my back was really being cranky, so I had to bail out of that and hit the bathtub. Luckily, today's episode of Sky Sports News is 2 hours long. Yay! Oh yeah, and what's the big controversy today? Well, same controversy as every week. VAR. There was some massive VAR controversy during the Liverpool game. And it's a big deal. The funny thing is it was one of those situations where somebody may have committed a foul and they weren't sure. They let the game play on until it came to a natural stop. They checked the VAR, and the thing that they were looking for, what they thought might be a foul, was not actually a foul, but in the shot, right next to where, you know, the thought to be foul was, there was another actual foul that, you know, then didn't get called. And this was in the penalty area and should have resulted in a penalty kick. And it was not good. And to make things worse, Michael Oliver was the referee. Everybody's up in arms. I kind of think he made the right call, because they weren't checking for random fouls. They can't check the game just to look for random fouls. But still. And of course, you know, what does all this VAR mean? Well, it means about, you know, an extra 10 or 15 minutes added on to every game. People are not happy about that, and they're even trying to They being like the FA or some subcommittee of the Football Association is working on telling people that, hey, we should speed this up. Yeah. Whatever. So I'm drinking tea like a fool. And having a good time. And like I said, though, I was in the bath. My back does seem to feel a little bit better. After I got out of the bath, I decided to take some Tylenol. Excuse me, I mean acetaminophen. And then I also took some ibuprofen. And I've got my magic jacket on, and I'm trying to just be cool. By which I mean be warm. Because, you know, that's what we're doing today. Yeah. And that reminds me of something else that I need to work on, because this is problematic. What I need to do... What do I need here? What's the problem? The problem here is that when my back is bad and I get into the bathtub, you know, there's nice hot water in the bathtub, but then I have to lean back. And then I have to lean back against the part of the bathtub that is not in the hot water. And this part of the bathtub is very cold. And this is enough to make my back worse, because I will lean up against the cold bathtub, and I'll go, oh, right? And my muscles will seize up. They'll tense up to protect against that, which is exactly what I'm trying to avoid by getting in the bathtub to begin with. So basically, what I'm trying to say is something needs to happen. And ideally, I need to preheat the bathtub in the same way as you preheat a teapot. And you pour boiling water into it. You pour hot water into the teapot. You know, and you let it sit in there for a few minutes. Then you pour it out. Then you actually brew the tea. Okay? This is so that the teapot, the coldness of the teapot does not cool the water down. This is to maintain the proper temperature of the water. And this is the same with a bathtub. Not only, you know, am I trying to heat the bathtub up, I'm trying to keep the water as hot as possible for as long as possible. Because if you've ever heard of anything similar to, or... okay, there's this thing called thermodynamics. Heat likes to go other places. It likes to escape, blah, blah, blah. So I know what you're saying. Okay, Tub, we'll just fill your bathtub up with hot water before you get into it. Let it sit and heat the tub up, then drain it and refill the bathtub just like you would a teapot. Well, I would do that, except I don't have enough hot water. My hot water heater does not have enough hot water in it to fill up two bathtubs, and it doesn't recover quite so quickly. So that's not an option. That's just not an option. But I wish it was. So, you know, there's a lot of other little things I could do. Well, why not put a heater in the bathtub for an hour before you get, you know, yeah, except I don't have a heater. I don't have any small portable heaters or anything. So I'm thinking if this might be an invention I need to invent, the bathtub heater. You know, just build, you know, okay, first of all, we could get around this problem just by using like a ceramic bathtub, right? Like a foamed ceramic bathtub would be great, you know, just heat. Ceramic bathtub. Okay, well, if you can't have a ceramic bathtub, what's my bathtub? My bathtub is metal, and it is, you know, coated in porcelain or some pseudo porcelain-like substance, right? Like a lot of bathtubs. You know, if you had a plastic bathtub, this may not be as big of a deal. But, or a fiberglass bathtub. But I have a metal bathtub. I need, hey, is that Mick McCarthy? Yes, it is. Hold on a second. Mick McCarthy's on.
I would always prefer to have my best players playing, and he is being our standout centre forward. So any team of any ilk, any stature, would miss a player like him, especially how he was playing, and he was loving it. And the goal he scored against Switzerland, of course, I think everybody loved him for that.
Are we likely to see him in a Racing Camp role for Monday?
It's a risk playing any of the first team we've been playing, isn't it? But I haven't named any of the players yet.
I'm sorry, I just had to listen to that real quick because I haven't seen Mick McCarthy in forever, and I don't know where he's been. Mick McCarthy is a football manager, a coach, a head coach, as you would say in America. He's the manager. He's been in the Premier League for a while, and I haven't seen him in years. I probably haven't seen him in I don't know how long. He used to be the manager of Wolverhampton, but apparently now he is the manager for the Republic of Ireland national team, which is awesome. And they play New Zealand on, when is that? I don't know. Soon. In a couple of days. So that's just great to hear from Mick these days. Oh, super happy. He looks a little bit older. Has it been 10 years since I've seen him? I don't know, but I've been wondering. You know, because the funny thing is that at the beginning of every season, for the last three or four seasons, I've been thinking, yeah, we're going to see Mick McCarthy soon. Mick McCarthy's coming back. We're going to be seeing him again soon because these teams need managers. Yeah, but each time we haven't seen him. I keep predicting his return. I've predicted the return of so many others, just not our boy Mick. So I'm glad to see him. I'm glad to know he's having fun in Ireland. And I am drinking tea again. I do enjoy tea. It's yummy. So anyway, back to the bathtub. I'm thinking I need to build some kind of bathtub heater, don't I? Except how am I actually going to install it? I can't get to the underneath of my bathtub. The underside of my bathtub is not exposed. You know, my bathtub is sort of built into the wall and the bathroom and everything, and I'd probably have to drill some hole. I don't know if it's just forget it. Oh, all I want is a preheated bathtub. Is that too much to ask? I guess it is. That would be awesome, though. And it's not like I need the bathtub to get hot. I just need it to be a little bit closer to body temperature. I mean, on the worst day ever, you know, maybe I would have to heat it up to 80 degrees, preheat it. And it doesn't need to stay on once the water's in. Because once the water's going, yeah, I'm fine. It's just, you know, that first initial contact. How am I going to do that? You know, well, how about this? Now, see, I almost had an idea there that... Can I use infrared? Can I use... Well, see, here's what I'm thinking. What if instead of building something into it or, you know, under it, what if I did build something that was actually just sort of placed into the bathtub? Because it wouldn't necessarily actually have to heat the entire bathtub, just the back of the bathtub where I have to lean up against it. And so I could potentially, how am I going to do that? You know, put something in the bathtub for 10 or 20 minutes before I even fill up the tub with water and then take it out. And so instead of having like a direct heater, Lori, like instead of putting like a space heater in front of it and blowing hot air at it, yeah, something that I could just lean up against it, just set it right on there, right up against the back of the bathtub. How could I do that? Can I do that chemically somehow? I don't know. I'm thinking vermiculite, charcoal, iron powder. Mix these things up in a bag that sits up against... I don't know. Somehow I gotta figure out some tricky thing, some nice tricky hack. I don't know. I will continue to give that some thought, and if there's any progress on that invention, I'll let you know. More tea. More tea for me. It's very delicious today. Yum, yum, yum. So, yeah, I'm winning. Last night I was watching some anime, and it was old style. It looked like late 80s or early 90s. And what is that thing called? What's it called? Itazuka Kiss? Itazuka na Kiss? It's some romance dorky story. And it's that old school style. That old style of drawing. And I like it. It's also the old story, the old school sort of storyline and plot development too, which is... And why am I hooked on watching this? I don't know. I'm how many episodes into it? I don't even remember. But I got more of that to watch today. So I'm going to be looking to do that here in a bit. I'm also trying to think if I need to go out and do anything today. I don't want to drive because it's, like I said, it snowed and it's all slushy and it's just cold enough to be frozen. And there was some jackass in a pickup truck couldn't figure out how to drive up the street. Yeah, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Oh, and here's my Dutch table. Yes, Ajax on top. Cleared by 6 points. Then Alkmaar, then PSV. And way down in 10th place, Feyenoord. Ha ha, 10th place. Yeah, Ajax on top. Super happy about that. Oh, it's all about football around here. It really is. I don't know why. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, was there a reason why I had to mention? Oh, no. Yeah, well, not really. Why did I have to mention that I'm watching a new anime? Oh, well, because there's a live-action version and a live-action movie that I'm going to have to watch just because I'm going to have to. And there's this one character, the male lead character in this anime I'm watching isn't that good or that cool. It's kind of a tool, which is sort of the point of this whole anime story, this plot. But there was a great line in it. And I don't feel like I can repeat this line. Not that it's obscene or anything like that. It's just a very peculiar thing to say, but I totally got it. I mean, it really, really, really spoke to me, and I thought, man, I gotta remember that. And it was basically a line about why he didn't have any hopes and dreams. And I don't know if I should even bring this up. I don't even know if I should talk about this, but somebody asked me this the other day, Joel, don't you have any dreams? And I'm not going to go into detail, but of course I don't. Dreams are for people who can't achieve. They dream things. They dream, like, oh, I wish I could do that. Well, no, don't wish you could do something. Just do it. You know, that or dreams are something you have at night. You know, dreams are something you have when you're sleeping at night, and this is your brain doing strange business, and dreams are not real. Okay, so argument one, dreams are not real. Argument number two, dreams, basically I don't have any dreams. When I say dreams, I mean fantasy goals. You know, yes, I dream at night. but I do not have any fantasy goals. Like, oh, I don't dream of one day, you know, becoming a princess and winning the equestrian championship. You know, I don't have any dreams. There are no goals that are out of reach. There are no goals that are inachievable. And the other problem with dreams is, suppose you do have a dream. Once you achieve that, where else can you go? You've got nowhere to go but downhill. Dreams are this fantasy goal that is unlikely to be achieved. It's the pinnacle of achievement, of lifetime of anybody, right? So if you manage to achieve a dream, oh, I made my dream come true. Yeah, well, where are you going to go from there? Where are you going to go from there? You're at your top. What are you going to do? Right. It's all downhill from there. So there's a lot of reasons not to have any dreams. Don't have dreams. Have realities. Go out there, kick some ass, do awesome stuff. Just be awesome. You have my permission. You have the official permission to do something awesome. That's from me. You also have permission to go out there and do something really dubious. You know, and if you want to achieve a dubious goal, maybe you should do that. If you want to achieve an awesome goal, maybe you should do that too. But frankly, I'm the kind of person who believes that you should be achieving goals every day. I mean, that's how you win. Whoever scores the most goals wins. Have a lot of goals, achieve them every day. Don't bother with dreams, because reality is much, much funner. Trust me on this one. Anyway, before I go on a rant, maybe we should listen to some music. Let's have a musical interlude. No, suddenly we have massive failure. Suddenly, yeah, no, oh, this is kind of an issue we've got going on here now. I don't know what to tell you, kids. Maybe we're not having musical interlude after all. Maybe we should just be watching... Yeah, look at this. I've had a hard crash. Maybe we should be listening to Mick McCarthy.
This is enough saying. Anyway, we used to complain about referees, and now we complain about somebody that we can't see. I suppose that's anonymous for them. That's okay. But I always... See, TC and I would always watch the games back on a Monday morning, despite the fact we might have been having a bleat and a whinge about the referees. Monday morning, 95%, I would say, decisions got right. There might be a throw-in, there might be a... And then there'd be an odd one where it's a real blatant one and we'd be moaning. And then the following week, there'd be a blatant one in our favour that we might be... And then there wouldn't be one for 2 or 3 months. And at the end of the season, it probably equaled itself out.
I have to agree. That's Mick McCarthy talking about the latest VAR controversy. And the reason that we have VAR to begin with is because everybody's, oh, the referees don't know what they're doing. The referees, they got a call wrong. Well, yeah, sometimes you're going to get calls wrong. And the truth of the matter is, that doesn't actually happen very often. Yeah, I mean, we're talking, you just heard Mick McCarthy himself, you know, a referee's only getting a call wrong, you know, about once every 3 months, 2 or 3 months. And those wrong calls are things that are insignificant, like throw-ins, you know, because it kind of doesn't matter. If the ball gets kicked out of the bounds on the touch lines, then yeah, somebody's got to put the ball back into play. This is kind of a 50-50 proposition, so it sort of doesn't really matter who throws the ball back in. It doesn't matter which team, because that doesn't mean they're going to retain possession. And so, does it really matter if a referee makes the wrong call? If the referee makes a mistake and tells the wrong team to throw the ball in? Yeah, no, it really doesn't. You know, if the ball goes over the goal line, is it any different? You know, if he calls for a goal kick when it should have been a corner kick, Yeah, you might think that's a bigger deal because a corner kick is, you know, an offensive thing and a goal kick is a defensive thing. Well, this may be true, but how relevant is it actually? You might think, oh, it's a big deal. Well, it just so happens that recently I saw a thing about corner kicks. I saw a 10-minute video about, actually, I saw another video about throw-ins, but the video questioned whether or not corner kicks are becoming irrelevant, because with modern football being as strong as it is and players being as skillful as it is, it's just not that effective of a tool anymore. Fewer and fewer goals or any kind of action is coming from corner kicks anymore. It's some ridiculous number, like 15%. Only 15% of goal or of corner kicks result in a shot on goal, let alone a goal itself. And that it's actually sort of a waste of time. And the same argument for throw-ins. People are kind of calling for the end of throw-ins because it turns out that something like 12 minutes of every game gets wasted on throw-ins. And so we got all these people complaining about VAR adding time to the game, including myself. And we're not looking at things that are wasting time, like throw-ins, corner kicks, goal kicks, and of course, you know, the substitutions and injuries. And I actually saw a breakdown. Like, over the last 5 years, every game computed, what did they say? There's only like 55 minutes of football being played in any given game, any given 90-minute game. The rest of that time is time wasting, etc., etc., etc. And, you know, the average added time, or injury time, as some people like to call it, is only like 3 or 4 minutes, when it should be something like 12 to 14. It's like, whoa, that's insanity. Something's got to happen. Well, yeah. We're working on it, although nobody actually asked me, and they should, because I could probably come up with some kind of solutions. I'll tell you one thing, though, is that a kick-in is not a solution, is not a substitution for a throw-in. You know, they have kick-ins in other forms of football, like football rapido and futsal, etc., etc. Don't need to go into the details here, but that's the same thing. Somebody still has to stand there on the sideline. Whether they pick it up with their hands and throw it or kick it with their foot doesn't make it any faster. They can still just stand there and wait for their guys to get into position and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Still, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's just a little bit too weird for me to even think about all the time, so I can't be bothered.
Like dive bomber aimed to demonstrate that the United States was ready for war.
Yeah, we're always ready for war because we are the United States. Dive bomber starring Errol Flynn and is Olivia de Havilland in it? No, but Fred McMurray actually is. Anyway, is that relevant at all? No. I'll tell you one thing that is relevant, though. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe. I'm out.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
It's strange how I went out driving. I was trying to find a way to keep from